It's time to talk about food and drink and restaurants and cooking and kitchens and food shows on TV and lots more. It's Food Talk STL with David Craig on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Well, we're doing the show differently today. This is very, very weird for me because in the past, when your radio station went off the air, you went off the air. Today, though, we're doing the show online, and I have no idea if two people are listening or 100 or 1,000 or 100,000. But we are doing the show online on KFNS.com, and thank you if you are there. We posted it on Twitter a few times. I have no idea. So we're going to do the show. The show must go on. What the heck? Let's give it a go here. This is Food Talk STL. I'm David Craig. The show is not just for foodies. It's for people who like to eat. I do want to mention right at the beginning of the show that tomorrow is Mother's Day. If you're a mom, we love you. And if you, you know, your mom would probably love to be taken out to one of the Sunday brunches. They're all over town. And if you're a mom and you haven't yet been invited to a Sunday brunch, I'll mention that sometimes we, your sons and daughters and husbands, don't always read your mind. So you might want to just say, hey, you know, I'd kind of like to go to one of those Sunday brunches. And if they still don't invite you, just slap them upside the head and say, hey, we're going to a Sunday brunch. Okay, yeah, sure. Next Saturday, we're planning on doing the show from the Taste of Maplewood, which is on Sutton, just a little bit south of Manchester. George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine will be visiting with me. We'll talk to some of the vendors, some of the restaurants and bars who will be participating in that. I think 36 vendors participating in the Taste of Maplewood, which goes from noon to 9 next Saturday. And we also have several more guests in the wings here for our Food Talk STL show in future weeks. And hopefully a few more remote broadcasts. Got a couple of people who'd like to have us do our show from there. We'll see if that happens. A couple of other notes here. Gerard Kraft of Niche did not win the James Beard Award for Best Chef in the Midwest. Some guy from Madison, Wisconsin did. But Gerard Kraft did represent St. Louis very well at the Beard Awards in New York City. Clara Moore of Local Harvest Cafe, who we had on the show last Saturday morning, was on that show Around the World in 80 Plates, and on the very first episode, she was the one that was voted off. And I'm reading online here some comments that she did in an interview. This is online. She was talking about one of the other contestants, a man with the nickname of Nookie. She said Nookie was just like, well, here's a scapegoat. And everybody else was like, yeah, that's a scapegoat. And I, this is Clara speaking, and I stupidly didn't have enough whatever in me at that time to say, no, no, hell no, I don't deserve this. I was kind of just broken down at that point. And she continues, if I had stood up and said, no, Nookie, your stuff was the worst. Why are you attacking me? I kind of do have regrets that I didn't do that. I think I was just cut pretty short. I feel like I could have gone pretty far in the competition. Okay, those are the words of Clara Moore, who was on Around the World in 80 Plates. Watch that debut episode. Show's okay. I'll probably watch it again. My wife and I were treated to a wonderful dinner this week at Cielo at the Four Seasons Hotel. The pasta with duck confit and the steak, perfect. Cooked just right. The service was excellent, and a pretty darn nice view of St. Louis from up there as well. And my wife and I also had last week, and we went over to the 119 North Tapas Bar, not Topless Bar, Tapas Bar, which is in Kirkwood on Kirkwood Road. Really like their Mexican meatballs, which I think they called albondigas or something like that, with some spectacular spicy sauce. And crispy artichokes were good. And then yesterday did Food Truck Friday down at Tower Grove Park. That was pretty neat. Soul Taco, again, had the longest line. Enjoyed the fries from Zia's. Guacamole from Hot Aztec. The BLT from the Summer Truck. And the beer from Schlafly. It was all very good. Also had a chance to talk this week to Linda Jones, who's with the St. Louis Food Truck Association, and Cha-Cha Chow. She was out at Lohmeyer Park last night for their big weekend event that they have going on. And enjoy talking to her just kind of about the food truck situation here in St. Louis. Okay, now I'm welcoming my guest to the program. It's somebody that you probably know. If you've watched TV in St. Louis in the last 20 years or so, it's a man. It's Zip Rezepa from Channel 2 and Channel 4. I guess you worked at Channel 4 a lot longer than Channel 2, right, buddy?
Correct.
Long time over there. And then you moved out of broadcasting into the world of social work, serving mankind with MERS Goodwill, Society of St. Vincent de Paul, Angels Arms.
Yes.
What a transition.
It's like that old Monty Python line. And now for something completely different.
And did you, when you were coming up in the, going to college and getting into your first broadcast gigs, did you ever foresee doing that? Or was it like in the back of your mind?
No, my minor in college was sociology for some reason, but I really didn't care. I wanted to be a broadcaster, but
gotcha.
I didn't envision that. And it just kind of corresponded with a spiritual deepening after I got out of the business, David, and things went from there.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in. I'm sorry that we're not on the air, but we are. We are online. And the great thing about the online stream is that it goes everywhere in the world.
Yes.
So you never know. I mean, they may be listening on Long Island. They may be listening in California. You never know.
That's right.
Whereas with 590 AM, there's a limitation. Yes, it's only people in our region. Okay, so the reason I asked you to come in, you're a sports guy, and this is a sports talk station, but this is a food show. And I know when you were on with Debbie and me on WIL back in the day, and we'd have you on several times a week, and you would say, hey, I went to this great restaurant last night. And I would think, oh, well, maybe someday I'd like to go there. So, you were making some money. You were going out and hanging out. You were a single guy around town, and you were involved in the sports scene, the social scene. You got to eat some pretty good restaurant meals, didn't you? I mean, not that you don't now, but...
Yeah, well, yeah, the income is a little less now than it was back in that day.
Those days,
yes. But, and St. Louis is a great restaurant town, so I really enjoyed it. Coming from places like Boston and Detroit, my hometown, and other places I worked in the TV. So it was different when I got here.
And the broadcast world was a little different back in those days, too, because they would send you maybe to Florida or to a golf, to spring training or to a golf tournament. Or if, a team was involved in postseason, you might travel here or there. And you had a nice expense account. And they didn't.
Yes.
Like nowadays, if they send, I think Channel 5 sent Rennie Knott out to the hockey playoffs, and I think they told him to stay at La Quinta and eat at Denny's. I'm joking.
Things were better back in my day.
Well, yeah. So let's go back to when you were in St. Louis. You moved here in the 80s. You thrived in the 80s. You were the guy, you didn't just sit there and read the scores. You were kinetic. You smiled. You had fun on TV. I mean, And some people can fake it, but you weren't faking it. You were having fun.
Yes, the enthusiasm was genuine. I always thought sports should be fun, and we should make people laugh and rejoice about what was going on in the sports scene.
Okay, so now when you think about going to restaurants back in those days, now you mentioned one to me on the phone the other day, the one that used to be just north of where the Galleria. Do you?
Al Baker's.
I never went there, and it closed down, what, mid-90s, late 90s?
Yeah, probably about that time period, yeah. But I loved Al Baker's. You drive in, it was almost under like the bank there, and it wasn't a very impressive parking lot. But once you got inside the door, you had the tuxedoed waiters, and Al was there greeting people, and they'd take you to your table, and the food was just great, and the waiters would describe the specials of the night, and it was a great dining experience. Loved Al Baker's.
And it was kind of like going back. It was kind of like a, maybe Mad Men era, with this was a place where you dress nice.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You didn't come in your sandals and your jeans.
No, not back in the day.
Well, my wife and I had an experience. We'd lived here about 20 years, and we finally went to the place out on Lindbergh.
Chris, yeah.
I'm never really sure.
K-R-E-I-S. Yes,
and we walked in there. It was kind of like, okay, this is like going back in time. Have you had many meals out there at that place?
Yes, I took my mom there, my mom and dad, when they were in town a couple of times. And, they've got that prime rib that is so huge.
Oh, yes.
So we ordered that, and they brought it to the table, and my mom said, look at the size of that prime rib. And the waiter said, well, I'm sorry, ma'am, something's wrong. We can get you a bigger one.
Okay, yeah. No, we had great meals. And by the way, they're still there, and they're still packing them in every night of the week. But let's go back to maybe a place or two that was on your radar back in the day that maybe is not around that you recall. Have you got a couple of others maybe you could think of?
Well, you know, a couple of places have moved. A couple of venerable restaurants in St. Louis. Tony's, of course, was at a different location than it is now. It was on the north side of the town, in city, a much different structure than where it is now over at Market and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had an ambiance. I love the old Tony's. You had the maitre d' who would greet you at the door and walk backwards in the restaurant to your table and not run into anybody.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And the food?
The food was sensational. I mean, one of the 5 stars in just about every service that rates restaurants in the country. And then they moved, and the ambiance is different. I've been there a couple of times, not as much as the old place. It's a much bigger layout, all in one room, so to speak. And it's a little different than it was before. But the old Tony's will always live in my memory as a great, great place. Another one like that, David, was Kimmel's. Kimmel's used to be on the north side, too, before they moved to the Metropolitan Square building.
I never went to their North Grand location. I have been both when they were on the bottom of Met Square and now up on the top.
Yep. So the older one was an older building, of course, and the food was just tremendous. And I was not surprised when Mark Cusimano of Kimmel's got the contract to be in the Metropolitan Square building when they opened that biggest building in St. Louis, a couple of decades ago.
Mm-hmm. And with those people, not only is the food delicious, but you get a lot of it.
Oh, boy, do you.
And it's like, okay, wait a minute. I just finished my appetizer. I don't know that I can handle all this other stuff here.
Right.
Okay, and what's on your dining radar these days? Do you have a favorite go-to place in town in 2012?
Well, since I'm not receiving a paycheck, I'm writing a novel right now, so I'm not receiving a paycheck. I'm self-employed. I go to places like St. Louis Bread Company. I love Bread Company because it's got a great menu. It's inexpensive. It's quick. It's clean. It's good. And I love Bread Company. I mean, you know, you got that, you're drinking the Bread Company coffee.
I stopped in for a cup of coffee at Sunset Hills, and I'm wondering, you know, it seems to me, I mean, that's their corporate headquarters is like in hollering distance from that particular store there at Lindbergh and Watson. If that one, you know, if everybody has to watch their P's and Q's a lot more than, say, if you're at the Bread Co. in, say, Rolla or somewhere down the line.
Yes. But I mean, they got a great menu. I mean, I went to Bread Co. this morning. They have that oatmeal that I love with the strawberries and the almonds and the brown sugar. Now they've got a new oatmeal in addition to the regular one. It's blueberries, granola, brown sugar, and oatmeal, and it's just really good stuff.
I'd say let's just put a long record on and head on over there right now. No one. I'm kidding. And another thing I wanted to ask you about, you were a very in-demand after-dinner speaker for youth groups. You went to a lot of awards banquets, you know, the sports writers, things like that. So I want to talk to you a little bit about going to and not just at big hotels and big convention centers, but when you go to a church and in, you know, the parish center, and you're having this big, I don't know, either a catered meal or the ladies back in the back are cooking. You've done a lot of those. So give me your general take on those. And you know, what advice would you give to people who are throwing a big event like that?
Well, get organized. That's for sure, for starters. And they vary. You know, the big hotel ones have the big caterers and the staffs and everything. And some places bring in caterers at locations, which is interesting. The church ones are great because they're all volunteers. You're right. The ladies in the back and the men these days helping them out. And they cook some good stuff. And, you know, whether it's mustacholi or whatever they're serving that day in the buffet line, it's enjoyable because they're pouring themselves out for the cause. Many of the or charity events or church events, and they do a great job. So I compliment them. I'll tell you, the hotel trade and the big banquet halls, it's a tough job. Those people work hard, especially the waiters and the servers who have to serve 1,000 people in an hour, and the food's got to be hot, and it's got to be coming, and it's got to be on time, and that's a tough chore.
And you want to serve, you know, if you've got a table, you want to serve everybody at the table at the same time, and then move on down the line. Yes, there is a lot of coordination and engineering and organization. And if you have maybe a staff of 30 people and two or three of them don't show up, Yeah, it can mess up. It can mess up the operation. Yeah. Speaking of churches, St. Raymond's, just south of downtown. Now, I've gone to a couple of banquets there. I've never gone to. What is their
the
thing?
The Wednesday luncheon special. It's okay. The Lebanese food. I tell you, they pack in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. It's a buffet line, all Lebanese food, and you just get in line, and people line up out the door on Wednesday afternoons, and they get the women behind the counter serving it and checking you out at the cash register, and then you find a table, cafeteria style, and you can see almost anybody. Mayor Slay gets down there, the police chief, politicians, people off the streets, anybody and everybody eating lunch at St. Raymond's Maronite Church.
Well, it is kind of nice to see movers and shakers. You know, hey, here's Mr. Peabody, Mr. Peabody Cole. Here's the head of Laclede Gas, and they're down here.
I'll tell you, some big-time business takes place at St. Raymond's on Wednesday at lunch down there.
And by the way, speaking, I know you're a leading Catholic citizen in town. You went to Cardinal Dolan's thing. Tell everybody how long you waited in line, and what did he have to say? Did you chat with him, or did you just say hi next?
Yes, well, the line was 3 hours long. I was 2 hours in before got to meet him, and he stood for 3 hours. There was no chair, no table, no nothing, no rest, and he greeted everybody in his usual gregarious manner. It was really something to see with like 1,200 people there packed into the place to greet him.
Oh, well, he has such a great personal manner and professional. I mean, he's going to do just so much for the church.
Right, and they had a very nicely catered. Westwood Catering had a little, it was not luxurious, but while people waited in line all this time, they had little finger sandwiches and a little chicken stick on a stick and things
nice.
Like that. But over in the church, he said, come on over to the reception. I know they're going to have food. I'll buy you a beer and a sandwich.
That's good. Okay, this is Zipra Zeppa. We're doing Food Talk STL, and we're doing it online today because somebody needs to jiggle the handle at the transmitter. We don't really... I think it's a power supply problem, but I don't really know. That's just a rumor that I've heard. Okay, when you were covering sports and you had opportunities to hang with a lot of big-name sports personalities, you're a personal chum of Dan Dierdorf and a lot of other old football Cardinals and such, Coach Hannafin and so on and so on. Is there a sports personality that you can remember you were just incredibly impressed by how much he, or maybe she, but probably he, could put away at a meal?
Well, Dan Dierdorf, you brought him up. I mean, he went into the restaurant business with Jim Hart, and they still have the restaurant going. They did a great, great job in the industry. He knew food, and he appreciated food. He was an offensive lineman, David, and over the years in covering NFL teams in Cincinnati and Boston and St. Louis, the offensive and defensive linemen could really pack it away.
Okay.
I had the misconception when I was a young kid that when I got into sports broadcasting and covering these teams that all athletes in the NFL were like Adonis, you know, that they were taller if they were linemen and bigger, but they were trim and fit.
Yeah.
You need bulk to play in the National Football League. Those big bellies are harder to move around if you're on defense, so you have to be bigger on offense to move them. And those guys and those physiques, now they have to be strong. I mean, bench press Baltimore, but I mean, you know, you got to have the strength as well as the bulk. But those guys would pack it away in training table lines like I've never seen. When I was with the Cincinnati Bengals, covering the Bengals in Cincinnati for NBC, I used to be invited to training camp. And Mike and Paul Brown, the owners of the team, would invite me to go through the training camp line, have lunch while I was up there. The training camp was about an hour and a half out of Cincinnati. And to watch those players pile it on their plates. And they were encouraging them because they wanted to be bigger and stronger bulkier, especially the linemen. So it was really something to see the amount of food those guys could consume in one setting.
I'll tell you a football player story. This was a friend of mine who was working with the Jaguars in Jacksonville when they first got with the team, and he got to go on their road trip, their first road trip ever to St. Louis, and I think it was 96. And he said, I'm on the charter, and I go in, and I sit down, and there on my seat, they had, like a lunch, a catered lunch, like a big sandwich and chips and beverage and all that stuff. And he thought, great, this is nice. We're getting a free lunch. So he sits down, and he eats his lunch, and all the football players get on, and they eat their lunch. The plane takes off. Then they serve them all steaks and huge meals. And he said it was the darndest thing to see the football players eat like that.
They eat well in the NFL.
Okay, I have another food question. Zipra Zeppa visiting with us on Food Talk STL. back in the day when you were doing the coverage for Channel 4, and maybe they would send you to St. Petersburg where the Cardinals were training, or wherever else, and you're on your expense account, do you have a memorable meal maybe in some exotic place, or maybe San Francisco or Chicago or wherever, that you ran the tab up and you said, that's okay, they're paying for it, Viacom's paying for it?
Well, one of my favorite places was in Philadelphia at a place called Bookbinders.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Good old Bookbinders. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a place and what a history. It's closed now. Unfortunately, they closed, but back in the day, I mean, they would have the red-jacketed waiters scurrying around these dark-paneled rooms and the history of the place. Frank Sinatra had a booth. Booth 25 was Sinatra's booth, and that's where he used to go and eat when he was in Philly. And, you know, there were rumors about organized crime being associated with the restaurant. We won't get into that. I can't substantiate any of those rumors. But it was just such a unique place. The menu had, they would shuck the oysters there because of such fresh seafood. And the greatest marketing thing almost I ever heard in broadcasting was, or in food, was buck a shuck. It was for $1, you got a shucked oyster. So it was buck a shuck. And people used to come in and eat the oysters like crazy. They had the largest indoor lobster tank in the world. 350 lobsters in the tank at Bookbinders when you walked into the place.
Well, I remember when we lived in Philly in the 80s, and we went there, and my son ordered a lobster, and he was a little kid at the time, or, you know, preteen. And so they invited him. They said, here, come back and pick out the one you want. And he went back there, and he was a very happy camper with that. Well, hey, thank you for coming by. I'm sorry, you know, about our little technical issues.
Oh, no problem.
But you know broadcasting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I used to work for a station owner, and this was an AM station in Erie, PA, and lightning would knock us off, and we'd be sitting around there, and he'd say, David, why don't you go in and make an announcement that we're going to be off the air for a while? And I'd start in there, and it's like kind of like an April Fool's thing, like, duh. Okay. That was before we had an online version. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to go to a break right now here on 590 The Fan. KFN. Well, no, we're not on 590. We're just on KFNS.com. It's the internet version only. And Gerhard Wanninger from GNW will be on with us in a few minutes. That's GNW Sausage on Parker in South St. Louis. Zip, I love you, man.
It's been a pleasure, David. Great being on the show.
Thanks for coming in. Okay, more Food Talk STL coming up on 590 or KFNS.com, or maybe you're picking it up on your toaster. I have no idea.